Your work as a psychologist over the last few years, you've been out on country, in and out of communities. Part of our ongoing discussions about what is happening in communities, as far as the mainstream media reports, people are coming into town, they're being a problem when they come into town, they want to overindulge in alcohol and be involved in antisocial activities. When we get away from towns and away from access to grog and alcohol, many communities are dry by choice. They choose not to have alcohol in them. What is day-to-day life like in an Aboriginal community?
Well, I can't speak on behalf of individual Aboriginal communities or a particular Aboriginal community, but what I would say to that is there's so much more to our Aboriginal people and communities than I think what may be portrayed within the media. And what you just talked about with substance usage, like there's some Aboriginal communities that are dry and are formidable and people are doing their best to live good and healthy lives.
Historically, Aboriginal and Islanders, the longest surviving culture on earth, 50, 60, 70,000 years plus. I mean, the reports from archaeologists and from scientists and people in academia keep reviewing their thoughts on the longevity of Aboriginal people in this country, but what is widely accepted and understood is as the oldest living culture on earth, they do have something to offer.
Absolutely. The wisdom and the knowledge and the ways of keeping ourselves well mentally and physically in our well-being, it's unparalleled. There's been a system or a way of living of life that kept everyone quite healthy. So yeah, there's a lot to learn about how we have had connections to land, to community, to our own families, to what we eat. So there's a lot to learn from that, and that's what can keep us strong and keeps us healthy.
The relationship between blackfellas and whitefellas, we've seen many of the negative things of the wider society that have been taken on board, and we understand Aboriginal people have not, in all cases, had a good relationship with alcohol. But sadly, that tends to dictate and send so many negative messages out to the wider community. But just getting back to the emotional health and well-being of people in communities, some time ago we did have a tragic run of youth suicides in different parts of the country. And as someone who went into some of these communities and has been dealing with young people, what are some of the issues that they're dealing with in their lives on a day-to-day basis?
Well, the same as many young people. So we've got issues such as bullying, interpersonal relationships, how to handle social media. And I guess with suicide, it's complex and we never truly know exactly what has happened in that person's life if someone ends their life to suicide. But what we do know is that it is complex. There could be many issues such as the social determinants, housing, well-being, unresolved trauma, could be many or one of such issues. For that point alone, that it is complex, it's about us understanding or gaining a greater understanding by talking to people and communities that may be asking those questions and may be wanting supports or assistance or solutions for their own communities. But again, when we're looking at suicide prevention strategies, they must be community-led, community-driven and led by Indigenous people.
A big issue that came up with the APS's apology was the cultural appropriateness and delivery of services. And again, as the IEPA becomes more actively involved in helping and advising the APS, we're starting to see a much better understanding. But again, there's still a long way to go as far as getting more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders working as psychologists and psychiatrists and in the mental health field. But in the meantime, the current delivery of services, I'm sure the apology would suggest that the peak representative body for psychologists at least understands that they can do things a lot better.
Yes, a very strong stance on wanting to do things better, and absolutely IEPA have led much cultural competency, and we are absolutely trying to get more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders supported to complete psychology and work in the mental health areas and fields. But alongside that, supporting non-Indigenous psychologists or people working in the mental health fields or areas or social emotional wellbeing fields, so that they are better supported to be working with their own mob in a culturally safe and a culturally appropriate way. That is very important. And a big part of my job is talking to many non-Indigenous psychologists or people working in the areas of social emotional wellbeing and appropriate ways of working with our people.
Culturally traditionally, the Ngangkari or the healers over thousands of years played a very important role. Sometimes Western science is critical of medicine men and witch doctors, but again, as the understanding begins to grow, it's becoming much more obvious that the knowledge that the Ngangkari have acquired over thousands of years has left them in pretty good stead. They have a very complex and diverse ability to deal with a whole range of issues. Now, what we're seeing in the last few decades is white fellas coming in with their ways. And again, out in community, part of your role is almost a crossover, working with the medicine men and women, of course. I shouldn't forget the women. The Ngangkari can be men or women. How do they view this new modern technology coming on board, and how do they see their role as sharing their knowledge with the white fellas?
Well, that's actually quite a challenging question, because I would never presume to talk on behalf of the Ngangkari or traditional healers. But what I can say is they hold a very dear space. And that's, again, as we mentioned before, and that's wisdom that's unparalleled and is very, very pivotal in for many of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples for social emotional wellbeing.
You're walking in both worlds. But how do you feel the understanding? I mean, for such a long time, it's been the case that white fellas have told the mob, well, this is what's going to happen and this is what you need to be doing. I mean, are we seeing any gradual cultural change within mental health and other health areas where people are beginning to understand that if we're going to close this gap in any way, perhaps what we've been doing in the past hasn't worked so well because of this, and this?
I do believe we've got a long way to go. I think the key to working well with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people is to make sure that we're invited first and we're collaboratively working, and it's an empowerment-based, strength-based way. And part of that is actually learning culturally appropriate, culturally safe ways. And that's why many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander psychologists and people that work in social emotional wellbeing write articles or have publications and do presentations. We don't have any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders working in that space, and so it's again to try and help the people that are already in the space working safely.
We mentioned earlier about IEPA taking on a greater role in the field, obviously working more and more in communities. Policy development and the implementation of policy, I mean, IEPA can come up with the suggestions, but as we know, sometimes working with bureaucrats, there are so many blockers there, and within systems, sometimes the best of ideas and the best of intent can sit on the shelf for years.
Possibly. However, again, we try and influence in every interaction that we have, every presentation that we may be providing, and again, probably more talking as Aboriginal psychologists rather than IEPA, that many of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander psychologists around Australia are already providing that gentle influence and that gentle push. And then we also have key Aboriginal leaders helping in that policy development and policy space, and greatly so.
Tanya Hervinen, thanks for your time.
Thank you.